Hi, I'm Mandy Jordan. Welcome to Inside the Blanket Fort, a weekly update from SIU Press, the scholarly book publishing unit of SIU. Last week, we started an exploration of some of the titles the press is shining a spotlight on for Pride Month. This week, we'll wrap up that celebration with another batch of Pride titles. Fraught with obsession, addiction, and unrequited love, Catherine Pond's Field Glass immerses us in the speaker's transition from childhood to adulthood. A queer coming of age, this collection is a candid exploration of sexual identity, family dynamics, and friendships that elude easy categorization, offering insight on the ambiguous nature of identity. Reflective, graceful, and understated, Pond's images accumulate power through restraint and suggestion. Deeply personal and intense, searching and yearning, associative and lyric, Fieldglass is a confessional about growing up, loving hard, and letting go. Lady Murasaki wrote in The Tale of Genji that 37 is a dangerous year for women. Evoking the styles of Murasaki and other women writers of the Heian period Japanese court, Leanne Rorapa presents a collection of confessional poems charting the course of that perilous year. Rorapa, in both an homage to and dialogue with women writers of the past, explores the trials of women facing the treacherous waters of time, while losing none of the grace and decadence of femininity. Often calling upon the passing of the seasons and revelations of nature, these lyrically elegant poems chronicle the dangers and delights of a range of issues facing contemporary women, from bisexuality and biracial culture and identity to restless nights and lingering memories of the past. In the edgy poems of Witness and View from True North, Sarah Henning's speaker serves as both conduit and curator of the destructive legacies of alcoholism and multigenerational closeting. Considering the impact of addiction and sexual repression in the family and on its individual members, Henning explores with deft compassion the psychological ramifications of traumas across multiple generations. With the starling as an unspoken trope for victims who later perpetuate the cycle of abuse, suffering and shame became forces dangerous enough to down airliners. The strands Henning weaves, violent relationships, the destructive effects of long-term closeting, and the pall that shame casts over entire lives, are hauntingly epiphanic. And yet these feverish lyric poems find a sharp beauty in their grieving. In Tori Adkison's The Flesh Between Us, the speaker explores our connections to each other, whether they be lovely or painful, static or constantly shifting, or above all, unavoidable and necessary. Intensely and unapologetically homoerotic in content and theme, The Flesh Between Us sensuously conducts the meetings between strangers, between lovers, between friends and family, between eater and eaten, between the soul and the body that contains it. Pushing the boundaries of what has been traditionally acceptable for gay and erotic content and themes, the poems adapt persona, Greek mythology, Judaism, and classic poetic forms to interrogate the speaker's relationship to God and faith, to love and sex, to mother and father. A. Loudermilk utilizes confessional, persona, and third-person poems throughout an intimate yet socially conscious first collection. Strange Valentine is an indictment of love, fixating on the paranoid relationship between body and state, on the dangerous relationship between family history and sexual history, and on the elusive relationship between gender and sexuality, specifically as experienced in the working-class towns of the southernmost Midwest. Writing highly crafted rhythms in sound, line, and invented form, Loudermilk's multi-voiced storytelling resounds with the characters and heartbreaks of the heartland. Consisting of two dynamic song cycles, Cyrus Cassell's sixth poetry volume, The Gospel According to Wild Indigo, keeps the reader on edge with a timeless and beguiling feast of language that fuses together history, memory, and family. The first cycle, rooted in the culture of the Gullah people of Charleston and the Sea Islands, celebrates the resilience of the rice and indigo working enslaved and their descendants who have forged a unique Africa-inspired language and culture. Set against a Mediterranean backdrop, the second cycle explores themes of pilgrimage, love, and loss, concluding with a pair of elegies to the poet's mother and the many men lost in the juggernaut of the AIDS crisis. Throughout, Cassells invites the reader to consider the duality of grief and love, as well as the shifting connections between past and present. While Eva Le Gallienne's approach to Eleonora Doucet and The Mystic in the Theater is reverent, it is also scholarly, stylishly written, and considering her personal debt to Doucet, remarkably objective. She disposes of the hard-dying myth that the great Italian actress played simply on the inspiration of the moment. Le Gallienne's thesis is that Doucet's artistic triumphs resulted from her victories over herself, triumphs of character achieved through intellectual and spiritual struggle. In support of her title, Le Gallienne adduces evidence of Doucet's long and earnest study of the writings of mystics and philosophers. This book is thoughtful, sensible, candid, and literate. Le Gallienne's own memories provide a fascinating glimpse into both herself and the tired, fading great actress whom she adored. The comprehensive biography, Shattered Applause, The Lives of Eva Le Gallienne, whom film critic Rex Reed called a national treasure, draws on Robert A. Shankey's interviews and correspondence not only with Eva Le Gallienne, but also with more than 100 of her colleagues and friends. 42 illustrations offer highlights of Le Gallienne's many notable performances in such plays as Hedda Gabler, Lilium, The Cherry Orchard, Peter Pan, Camille, Mary Stuart, The Royal Family, and The Dream Watcher. Behind her public role as a famous actress and as the founding and maintaining force of the first civic repertory theater in the United States, Eva Le Gallienne led a private life complicated by her identity as a lesbian. Shankin considered Le Gallienne's sexuality and how it played a role in the struggles, defeats, and triumphs that combined to inspire her greatness. The Song of Eros, Ancient Greek Love Poems, a collection of Bradley P. Nystrom's translations of 80 poems, provides a pleasant, thought-provoking reminder of love's vagaries as captured through the wit, charm, and insight of the master poets of antiquity. All the emotions and experiences associated with love, rejection, infatuation, ecstasy, desperation, loneliness, are rendered accessible to contemporary readers through this lively, modern, yet faithful English translation of works that date from the 7th century BC to the 6th century AD. You can buy your own copies of these amazing Pride Month titles from our website at siupress.com. Join us next week to hear about a new book release. That's all we have time for today. This is Mandy Jordan from SIU Press, encouraging everyone to make your own blanket fort and tell a story.